Welcome to Strange Times in New Boston, and welcome to the inaugural episode of this podcast. I'm Glenn Dickey and will be your host and guide as we explore these strange times we have found ourselves in. I think you will find this podcast to be somewhere near the intersection of politics, opinion, comedy, science fiction, and parenthood. In this episode, I'm going to introduce myself, talk about why this podcast exists, and review the 2019 legislative activities of the New Hampshire State House. If you have any comments about this podcast, please send them to me at Strange Times in New Boston, all one word, at hushmail.com. For anyone who might not be familiar with my background, I'm a former member of the New Hampshire State Legislature from Hillsborough District 5, a former two-term member of the New Boston School Board, a former New Boston Finance Committee member, and a bit of a community organizer. It might be fair to call me a local busybody and potential troublemaker. I'm a veteran of the United States Army and spent many of my formative years growing up in an Army family. I would say that my ideological compass points toward individual freedom, but suffers from my being too informed about human history. I am a proud and unapologetic member of the Republican Party and of the Free State Project. I think it would be fair to characterize me as a part of the broader liberty movement. Now, that being said, you are not going to hear any kind of a conventional viewpoint expressed here. If you're looking for a true believer or ideologue, look elsewhere. Any thoughts or opinions expressed here are my own, and I speak only as a private citizen. As to the origin of this podcast, it comes directly out of the content of the political left in the 2018 New Hampshire State House race for Hillsborough District 5, and from some of the more disturbing trends in politics and activism that I see occurring. After personally being the target of the far left during the 2018 election, it became clear to me that real people with a non-left orientation need to stand up and speak out publicly. The politics and the style of politics common to the far left is here and seeks to destroy anyone who isn't one of them. For my part, I will not go quietly. There is an ugly acceptance and conformity at the heart of some of the political ideology that is currently popular. In my opinion, this conduct needs to be publicly exposed if we are not all to descend into ruin. The citizenry should not accept those who are willing to replace political discourse and reason with full-cloth fabrications and the vilification of their political opponents. New Hampshire House of Representatives 2019 session. In the 2018 election, New Boston elected an entirely new slate of legislators, representing Hillsborough District 5 were David Woodbury and Donna Mom-Borquette, and to our floterial District 40, we elected Kat McGee. Three very different individuals, with only David Woodbury being a veteran of the political system, although I could be mistaken on that point. Now, fortunately for the citizens of New Hampshire, many of the important votes by our legislators are captured on an individual level so we can see how individual representatives voted. In the 2019 session of the New Hampshire House, there were approximately 283 such roll call votes. Thus, there are more than 283 instances where we can see how our individual representatives voted. Using modern software, a little skill, and the information available on the internet, it is a matter of but an afternoon to download and process the voting patterns of our representatives and see what story the data tells. It seems reasonable to expect that different representatives would have had different life experiences and therefore have different perspectives, especially in an area as important and as complex as politics. So I spent an afternoon, and with a little skill, crunched the numbers, as we say in IT, but I did not get the result I expected. As it turns out, the three different people the citizens of Hillsborough District 5 and 40 sent to represent them in Concord agree with one another to an almost uncanny degree. These three different people, when you look at how they voted with each other more than 95% of the time. More than 95% of the time. I mean, that's weird, right? I thought my calculations were off, but no, I checked, and they look good. I would expect that if three different people, not related to each other, took a complicated personality test involving over 250 questions, sort of like the roll call votes, and came up with the same answer more than 95% of the time, there'd be some kind of tidal wave of social scientists looking to study such an unlikely conjunction. That is exactly what the data shows, though. Perhaps the voters thought they were electing different people, but as it turns out, and as unlikely as it seems, these three different people from different backgrounds, different walks of life, on the complex issues confronting our society today, agree more with each other than in all likelihood you and your spouse agree regarding what color to paint the living room. I would expect normal human variation, just pure human cussiness and cattiness, to account for more difference than what I was seeing in the data. I am the curious sort and have some skill with software, so I started widening my search and finding more and more reps that voted exactly like our reps voted. And then I realized the pattern I was seeing. All these legislators were voting in lockstep with the Democratic Party leadership in the New Hampshire House. When the majority leader was out, they changed their voting patterns to align with the majority whip, and so on down the line. There's a reason there's no space between these candidates' voting patterns, and that reason is that they are being loyal soldiers in the Democratic Party political machine. That's how machine politics work. With an obedience rate of over 95%, any difference that we might have perceived in these individuals elected to Hillsborough District 5 and 40 is for the most part illusion. These three different individuals that New Boston sent to Concord, these three different people, then agreed that what was best for New Hampshire and for New Boston was whatever the Democratic leadership said it was. That's just an ugly level of conformity, more than 19 times out of 20. And on important complex issues too. Speaking as a Republican, even a somewhat marginalized one, we just don't see these kind of obedience rates in our party ever. Wow, what a bunch of conformists. As someone who sees American thought and culture reaching back to the individualism of ancient Greece and not to the communism of Karl Marx, I find unanimity on this scale expressed by our representatives banal and repulsive, as I think every other American should. American cultural values and American culture have produced some of the most empowered and individualistic people this planet has ever produced. I think I can argue persuasively that one of the most American things you can say is, "Don't tell me what to do." Look at our New Hampshire state motto, "Live free or die." The free that we are talking about in "Live free or die" is the freedom to be different from other people. The free in "Live free or die" is the freedom to be different and still remain part of the society. Whatever you want to say about our current slate of state legislators, you cannot claim that they embody the best traditions of American individualism. They conform, they obey, they stand in line, and whomever is calling the plays for them, it certainly isn't the citizens of Hillsborough District 5 and 40. They can have all the town halls they want, but when the time comes, they are all good comrades and toe the party line. If the electorate's intention was to elect people who refused to even marginally disagree with the elitist agenda of the Democratic Party, congratulations, because that is exactly where we are now. On a final note, the obedience rate that I am quoting here of more than 95% isn't exactly accurate. In the New Hampshire State House, you also have a lot of other legislation that is passed on voice votes, in which case the individual legislator's position is not recorded. And additionally, legislation can be passed en masse and is when on the consent calendar. If we were to include the agreement rates on these, we would probably see our representatives' obedience rate climb to near perfection. Maybe our reps are down there shouting no during the voice vote on the consent calendar, but judging by how conforming and obedient they are the rest of the time, it seems somewhat doubtful. Another interesting fact that emerges out of the data is the absence rate for our representatives. The truth of the matter is that legislative work is often lengthy, boring, and tedious. And at about $100 a year in pay, it's not exactly a moneymaker. Because roll call votes indicate when a representative isn't present, it makes any calculation regarding votes that you do a little more complicated. Out of the 261 roll call votes I used as the basis for my analysis, every representative missed some votes. However, as you will see, some representatives missed substantially more votes than others. Let's start with Representative McGee. Representative McGee missed 13 roll call votes, which was 4.9% of the total. Representative McGee missed the least votes out of the three representatives. Good for her. Next up is Representative Mom Borquette, who missed 22 roll call votes, which was 8.4% of the total votes. From the perspective of a normal day, 5-day work week, that is the equivalent to taking off early 3 hours on Friday. It must be nice. And finally, we come to Representative Woodbury, who missed a staggering 31 roll call votes, which was a whopping 11.8% of the total votes, making him our number one absentee representative. To put that in perspective of a normal 250-day work year, that's like missing 29 and a half days. It must be nice to just abjure your civic responsibility like that and not show up. When I was in the House, it drove me crazy to miss session. I have to say that I don't much care for any distinction between excused and non-excused absences for representatives. The position is that important. The work that the legislature does matters. And from the perspective of a citizen, I don't care if you had a good reason not to do the job you ran for. Honor the trust the public has placed in you and do the job. If you can't or won't do the job, then resign and let someone else take your place. Apart from the statistics, any kind of a serious analysis must look at the substance of what legislation our legislators supported. I think that when you see the legislation our representatives supported, or perhaps more accurately, the legislation that the Democratic Borg machine supported and to whom our legislators are obedient lapdogs, you are going to be appalled. Please come with me now while we review some of the actions of the legislature in 2019 to get a better feel for the kind of new Orwellian serfdom the Democratic Party and left is building for all of us. One of the first things the legislature did this session was something stupid and partisan, probably to foreshadow all the other stupid and partisan things they were going to do later in the session. Politicians do have a flair for the dramatic. The first thing they did was to amend House Rule 63 to make sure that they themselves were a vulnerable target by forbidding House members from carrying deadly weapons. This change to the House rules was proposed by Representative Douglas Lay, a Democrat from Cheshire, who currently serves as the House Majority Leader. Representative Lay is an individual we are going to encounter again and again in our travels. Representative Lay's amendment prevents House members from carrying deadly weapons in all House buildings. And this makes so much sense. Let's do this. Let's get the legislative nerve center of our state into a relatively small area, completely disarm them, and then advertise this fact. See, that way, when the next wacko from the far left decides it is time to kill off some of the people's representatives, deplorables representatives, in the state house, it won't be a problem. It isn't like someone from the far left didn't shoot the former U.S. House Majority Leader in the not-too-distant past. This whole line of thinking is so badly damaged as to come near to a pathological anti-pattern. Taking vulnerable resources, deliberately not protecting them, and then advertising that fact is a good way to keep bad people doing messed up stuff to innocent people. You only have to look overseas and see how this internationalist strand of disarmament thinking ends. In England, they took all the guns, and now they want the steak knives. Next, they will be coming for the pointed sticks. 20 years ago, prominent national members of the Democratic Party publicly mocked people for the idea that they were going to come for their guns. Going forward, we're going to know that that isn't the case any longer. If the far left hasn't convinced you of its hostility to the right to keep and bear arms by now, probably nothing will. On a broader level, the overall goal of the Democratic Party and of the far left at all seems to be to reduce the citizenry to a level where they are incapable of resisting the state. Who thinks that if the Venezuelan state turns into a tyrannical despotism, that the disarmed Venezuelan people have any choice but to take whatever their new lords decide is best for the serfs? Oh wait, that already happened, didn't it? In fact, it is happening right now in Venezuela, even as I speak. The idea that the people should have the means to resist and overthrow the government if necessary by force of arms is an about as an American cultural idea as there is. That's us. That's who we are. We are the people who think the people really should be in charge. Needless to say, all of our representatives supported this rule change. And on that encouraging note, let's move on. House Bill 481 regarding cannabis legalization came around yet again this session, and surprisingly, in one of their rare acts of party defiance, our brave representatives first supported House Bill 481 or were absent, then voted against House Bill 481 or were absent. Of all the things to defy their party on, this is one of our representatives' crueler moments. Every responsible poll indicates that there is massive popular support for cannabis decriminalization among Gen X and later generations. I am not just throwing the term massive around here either. Support is deep and bipartisan. To people in my generation, and I'm a part of Gen X, there is an ethical component to this issue as well. Cannabis is not a threat to our society, and therefore locking people up for it is wrong. It is hard to know what to think when we see our Democratic Party representatives standing shoulder to shoulder with the discredited likes of J. Edgar Hoover, Henry Anslinger, and Richard Milhouse Nixon. These were bad people exploiting the drug war to further their political agendas. It kind of makes you think, doesn't it? Maybe our dear leaders should schedule a screening of Reefer Madness, or Marijuana, the Demon Weed, for the edification of the citizenry. It is hard to imagine that our Democratic New Hampshire State House representatives are as far or possibly to the right of Donald J. Trump on this issue, but looking at the facts, that seems to be the case. As a veteran of our military and someone who came from a military family, I take special ire at our representatives' lack of support for cannabis decriminalization. A well-documented side effect of cannabis use is a radical decrease in dreams. For some people who wake up in a cold sweat, remembering that time that they did what the American people asked them to do and are now haunted by their past, cannabis can offer a world where those bad nights full of the dream or the memory of that day are a lot less frequent. People can get PTSD a lot of different ways, but to deny them cannabis as a low-cost, low-risk way out of the memories of experiences most of us will never have is immoral and unethical. Jailing people for cannabis is a stupid waste of government resources, and everybody knows it. And for the most part, everybody agrees on it. Denying a valuable and cheap palliative care to people who suffer from PTSD is to prefer a world with more pain in it. And if that's who you are, maybe you should get that looked at. What other good policies are our wise leaders pursuing? Adolescents in the countryside are apparently a menace to society, according to our representatives. In the past, kids 12 and up have been able to ride an off-road vehicle on a public road under adult supervision after having completed a safety course. And according to our state representatives, we just can't have that. Our representatives unanimously championed an end to the wicked freedom of young people riding down rural dirt roads and enjoying themselves under adult supervision. Where would we be without protection from the crazed hordes of adolescent OHRV enthusiasts clogging our highways and byways with their supervising adults? Who hasn't been inconvenienced by these sugar-fueled maniacs and their deplorable adult guardians supervising and watching what they are doing? Yes, our brave representatives have protected us from children by crushing another of their wretched freedoms. So brave. So very brave. What other things do we need protection from? Surely there are a lot of other things to be unreasonably and irrationally afraid of. And there are. Dun, dun, dun! Plastic straws! Run for your lives! I know this is scary, but try to calm down and think. How many times have you been afraid of plastic straws in the past 10 minutes? I know. It's always there, isn't it? Gnawing at the back of your mind, because they are everywhere. I don't know how people work in restaurants all day surrounded by them. Ask yourself, the last time you went out to eat, how many times during that meal were you confused about what to do next? Wouldn't it just be easier if there was a law to tell you if you wanted a straw? Well, at last there is. No longer will foul restaurateurs simply be able to decide themselves what the straw policy is in their restaurant. It is so good to see real leadership on an issue that matters so much to New Hampshire. House Bill 558 is such a perfect example of nanny statism run amok that I wish I could frame it and hang it on my wall as an example of outsider art. But the good times don't stop there. There are even more mundane matters of economics that you should be absolutely terrified of, and you need the government to tell you what to do, like House Bill 560. It's not heroin or fentanyl. It's not AIDS or war or oppression. Evil of our time, you know what it is. It is single-use plastic bags. Yeah, now we're talking about the big-time evils. How has it gone on for so long while people did nothing? Let's not forget how important it is that this tax is massively regressive as well. You know how much Democrats value working people, poor people, because they are exactly who is going to be most affected by this stealth tax. Good thing the Democrats are looking out for you, working class. Oh, and just wait till you hear their jobs plan. There's a pattern to the voting habits of these representatives, and it is not liberal. It might sound strange to hear me defend old school liberals, but I actually learned a great deal from watching the political left in a large state on the West Coast when I was much younger. It used to be that the left used reason and intellectual arguments against the right's adherence to tradition. And you had to be impressed that the liberals could at least mount a coherent argument for their positions, appealing to reason and experience. The old school liberals I learned so much from taught me to argue my position with precision and evidence, both good Enlightenment values. And in my experience, the left could at least argue the case for their government intervention in society. The voting patterns of our representatives isn't liberal, though. It's illiberal. Old school liberals used to believe in individualism and social change, but the voting patterns of our representatives is the antithesis of that. These people are the establishment. That's who they're protecting. We are fortunate in English that there is a word for the belief and limited individual liberty. And that word is authoritarian. In all candor, the modern Democratic Party in general, and our representatives in particular, seem to have never met a freedom they didn't want to end or tax or both. they fall into the category of those who care nothing for the freedom of the people. In the 97 times that the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance rated a bill as impacting personal freedom, our representatives even defied their own party to vote against the freedom of the people. The citizens of New Boston have gone from having some of the best representation in the House for securing their individual freedoms to having some of the worst. It's sad to see the people's freedom grow reduced, but that is exactly the situation we have now. You can go on and on. There were so many bad bills in this session. Let's think about House Bill 514, imposing a waiting period between the purchase and delivery of a firearm. House Bill 514 is a bill that should scare every woman listening to this. If you happen to be a member of the fair sex, then statistically speaking, you're going to be outclassed physically by your average rapist. You need something that can even things out, and the thing you need is a handgun. At some level, you can't outsource your personal security. Unless you are quite rich and can afford 24-hour private security, there are never going to be enough police to provide personal security to everyone, all the time, economically. That's impossible. I support the right of someone who has never previously owned a handgun to get one immediately without hindrance, and so should everyone who thinks they might have to provide security for someone who can't provide physical security for themselves. Good people use firearms every day to deter criminal violence. I would encourage every woman that believes she might need to defend herself or someone else to obtain and learn to use a handgun. Even a small 22 caliber handgun can make a big difference at the right moment. Powerful women and powerful people in general are a social good and reinforce our society, not weaken it, as perhaps others would have you believe. More Guns, Less Crime by John Lott gave the lie to gun control decades ago. It's too bad our fearless left-wing crusaders couldn't defy their own party on this issue. Oh, but it just gets better. Did you think we were even close to done? We haven't even hit what is, in my opinion, the king crony capitalism bill of the session yet. House Bill 466 is a masterstroke of crony capitalism. Even though I am a nerd and like solar energy, this bill is an economic abortion. Hey, you put solar panels over every square surface of your house and maybe you are going to produce an extra 100 kilowatts that you can then sell back to Eversource at the rate you pay for energy, the retail rate. And that's fine. Your extra 100 kilowatts isn't going to distort any major markets. This piece of legislation, however, isn't protecting you and your extra measly 100 kilowatts. This legislation is allowing producers of up to 500 kilowatts to sell their energy back to the grid at the retail rate. And that's where the catch is. These are larger than even large commercial building installations. These are purpose-built installations by solar power companies. 500 kilowatts is a lot of energy. And if this thing had passed, a lot of people with southern-facing hillsides would have suddenly realized that it makes perfect economic sense to clear-cut their forest and put up solar panels, especially considering the forced market preference for the purchase of solar energy before alternatives. The reality is that we live in a state with some of the highest electrical power costs in the nation, and this bill will make regular power contracts cost more and foster an economic bubble that must inevitably collapse. In the old days, people with economic sense would label support for such legislation as corruption. They would call people that supported such blatantly economically biased legislation as corrupt. Supporting economically biased giveaways from the public trough is the very definition of political corruption. Nowadays, maybe we call them our state reps. This bill didn't even make good bad sense. Call me cynical, but it looks like a payoff to someone for something. It will raise your rates, and then it will raise your rates some more. And this is the ultimate in regressive taxation, because all of us use power, right? Just in case you don't know what regressive means, It means a tax that falls most heavily on the working class rather than affluent people. Of course, your Democratic Party representatives, champions of the working class that they are, voted unanimously to support this legislation. Moving on. House Bill 582 is yet another regressive way to get residential ratepayers to support commercial electrical rates. While I might agree that we need cheaper electrical rates for our commercial sector, the way to lower prices is to create new sources of power, not place the burden on residential ratepayers. We don't need electrical power that falls apart as soon as the government subsidy supporting it evaporates, nor do we need to be endlessly supporting an industry with government subsidies. The people of New Hampshire should look to themselves to secure electrical power for their future, not trade burdens between residential and commercial ratepayers. Instead of playing economic tricks with rebates, why don't we just build some damn power plants? We could give some folks jobs, make rates cheaper for everyone. Maybe we could even give a break to poor ratepayers. But that is not going to happen. That is just crazy talk. Your current flock of state representatives don't even understand what the words "build a new power plant" mean. They and their party are against any real change to better this condition because their goal is to wreck everything they don't control. And when people have cheap power, civilization expands in ways that can't be foreseen and often upsets the status quo. They aren't going to build any new power plants unless the people building them are throwing money at them first. It's a sad day when an out-of-work Republican politician can legitimately criticize the Democratic machine for screwing the poor. What's wrong with this picture? Republican politicians are supposed to get schmoozed by big business, not be leading the charge against regressive taxation. How messed up is the world when even the Republicans feel for the working people? Or in other words, most of the people who actually live in the United States. Personally, when I got involved in politics, I was hoping to go to cocktail parties and get invited on trade junkets and maybe defend liberty a little bit. But instead, here I am out of office trying to sell Republican political revolution to the working class, telling them how they're getting screwed by the people who claim to have the ethical high ground and say they are looking out for them. Seems somewhat ironic, doesn't it? The ultimate exploitation of people is to demand that you are helping them while undermining them the whole time. I really hope the working class walks away from the Democratic Party just out of self-respect, if for no other reason. And then we come to the budget. What do you say about $400 million in new taxes and fees? Oh, sure, they did spend all the surplus first. But by all means, let's make bringing business to New Hampshire even harder. The faster the left wipes out the New Hampshire advantage, the sooner the excess population of deplorables will self-deport. It's not hard to see what the ultimate goal of such an economic policy must be. Where is this agenda going to lead? What is New Hampshire going to look like if this continues? Are we destined to become a badly run shadow of a Nordic socialist experiment that never existed? It's hard to see how the policies of the Democratic machine are not going to simply gentrify our state until our own people are driven out, being no longer able to afford to live or work there. If such a policy was announced publicly, its supporters would be pilloried, but with the subtle method. All they need to do is strangle the economy here with the myriad rules and regulations to create an economic vacuum ripe for foreign interests intent on depriving our children of their ancient liberty and land. Do they wish to force our children to seek homes and employment in distant and diverse lands? What's wrong with growing here? What is this but economic warfare upon their own people? The subtext of the Democratic Party agenda for New Hampshire seems to be flee. I still can't believe these obedient, conformist, illiberal authoritarians are the end result of the liberals with a social conscience that I spent my late adolescence around. How should we consider such leaders? I served in the House. I've seen the elephant. So there is some experience behind me when I say that the question isn't, should you be scared about the direction your state is taking, to, the question is, are you scared enough? We are on the verge of losing it. If we are going to stop the rot, to stop the decay, we need to stay awake and be active, or it can and it will fall apart, just like all those other states where liberty has already perished. It would be comforting for me to tell you that we are different, that it can't happen here, but we aren't, and it will unless we work to preserve it. Liberty is always a generation away from extinction. You can get up and work to preserve your ancient freedom and liberty, or you can take the long, easy road down to serfdom and servitude. That's the choice of our time. There's no real glory. You won't make any money off this, but you can build something that you will be proud to pass on to your children, a way of life that has value beyond gold or treasure. Notes. If I butchered the pronunciation of Mambor Ket, I apologize. Second note. When I refer to Representative Lay as an individual, I need to take a moment and contextualize that statement. He's only going to be an individual until he attains a state of non-gender, non-identity, at which point he will merge with the Democratic Borg consciousness and cease to exist as an individual. Judging by his high rank in the Democratic Party, we might want to keep an eye on him and see if we can pinpoint the change. By his skin becoming scaly and gray and contraction of a pronounced case of halitosis. Representative Lay's voting record as the majority leader serves as the basis for the obedience statistics for the Democrats. Well, I hope you enjoyed the first episode. There's just so much wrong with the policies pursued by our representatives during the session that it may be worthy of another entire episode. Public people that our district has elected deserve to be held to account for the policies they support. Earlier, I said that I am the curious sort, and after giving our representatives so much crap for their obedient and conformist voting habits, I have to say that I'm curious to know how I would fare under a similar rating system. Is Glenn just a different brand of conforming stooge? Or is he different? Last election cycle, the far left said I was a party stooge 98% of the time. Could that be true? Tune in next time and find out. In the future, I am looking to do episodes unpacking the 2018 election, revealing the nightmarish and forbidden secrets of the infamous Free State Project. You will know the secret sign. Discuss public education. Discuss the 800-pound gorilla, a.k.a. President Donald J. Trump, and cover whatever messed-up sick stuff happens at the State House. Well, that's the end of the journey. Thanks for letting me narrate our shared travels through these strange times. If you have comments or questions about the show, send your comments to me at strangetimesinnewboston@hushmail.com. If you would like to support the show financially, feel free to contribute at strangetimesinnewboston.podbean.com. Live free or die.